items, haven't you?
All right, this morning I'm going to be preaching from an old passage of Scripture that I'm sure I've preached before because I can hardly read it in my Bible anymore. We'll be looking in Philippians chapter 4, and you can go ahead and turn to that, and while you're turning, I'll tell you a story. I don't know if you remember, but not all that long ago, back in the 1980s, there were some parts of the country that it looked like the wolf was going to completely be extinct. And so, to make sure that didn't happen, they offered a funny kind of bounty for a wolf. They would pay you $5,000 if you trapped and brought in a wolf uninjured. And of course, in 1980, $5,000 was a lot of money. Two fellas just were sure that they could make a fortune. And so Sam and Jed then hunted and went out into the woods and began to hunt the wolves. Well, they hunted and they hunted and they hunted and they hunted and never had any luck looking for their $5,000 wolf. One night they had made a little clearing and they were camping out that night, staying out in the wild. And sometime during the night, Sam woke up and he looked around him, and all around their little clearing, there must have been 50 wolves with their eyes burning and their teeth bared and growling. And he reached over and he punched his partner. He said, "Jed, wake up. We're going to be rich." Attitude. Two men were sent by a shoe company to break in a brand new territory. And the first man that went out to try sent back a message to the factory and he said, "I need to be relocated to a new area because none of the people in this godforsaken place wear shoes." The second man sent back a memo, same place, and he said, "I can't believe what a great place you've sent me. Ain't nobody here has shoes. Send me 5,000 pair." And then I know that you all have heard me tell this one before, but it's about the eternal optimist that went up on the Empire State Building, got too close to the edge at the very top and fell off. And every floor they could say, hear him saying, "So far, so good." But you know what? What about the time when all that attitude just doesn't cut it? When severe issues come into your life and your life is turned upside down, when your life is torn apart, when you feel like your very heart is torn out, what do you do? I always turn to the dog-eared pages in my Bible. And the passage in Philippians chapter 4 is one of those. I want us to read together verses 4 through 13. And then I'm going to share briefly with you. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. And Paul, writing to the Philippian church, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, I pray this morning that your indwelling Holy Spirit would fill this place and that hearts might be touched to their deepest core. Oh God, that you'd have great glory and honor among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the passage I read is a month's worth of preaching, but I want to take just this morning and touch on three actions that promote the kind of peace that Paul was talking about, the peace that of God which surpasses all comprehension, the peace of God which passes all understanding. And so I want us to think about the way that that can be a reality in each of our lives. First of all, I'm going to tell you that we need to choose joy in times of unrest and anxiety. Did you know joy was a choice? I was talking to the children about that this morning, and I think they got a little bit of a handle on it. Joy is a choice. I want you to remember, and you might want to put your finger in Acts chapter 16, or put your finger here and turn to Acts chapter 16. Paul's writing to this Philippian church, and he's telling them, as part of what he said, that they should be doers of his lifestyle, that they should follow after what he did. And so if you go back to Acts 16, you see the beginning of the Philippian church. And in verse 16, we find a little slave girl that had a demon, and the demon enabled her to foretell the future. And of course, she had some people that were making a lot of money on that. And so she followed them around for several days, and at every opportunity, she would say, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And she did that for several days, and finally Paul became annoyed, and so he cast the demon out of her. Well, that was good for her, but that sure bothered the fellas that were making money on her. And so they saw that their income was gone, and of course they blamed that on Paul, so they drug Paul and Silas to the center of town to the magistrates to be judged. First of all, they were stripped of their robes. This is down in verse 22, and then they were beaten with rods, and after they had been beaten and bloodied, they were taken into jail, and it wasn't just a nice part of the jail, the receiving area. They took them into the worst, lowest dungeon where they had the stocks, and they put them in the stocks. Now, Paul and Silas didn't have much to be thankful for, did they? But did you see what the scripture said that they did? It said that they threw them in there, and Paul and Silas, it said in verse 25, were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison house was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. And so for all of the humiliation, for all of the pain of the beating, for all of the discomfort of being locked away in the stocks in the dungeon, Paul and Silas's answer to that was, well, let's sing glory to God. Let's sing praise to the Lord. You see, your reaction is what tells who you are as a person. Their reaction was to praise God. And you choose joy. Choosing joy is faith lived out. And it doesn't go unnoticed. Everyone in town noticed. There's a story that Chuck Swindle told about an older couple, and they had just recently been converted, and they'd had opportunity to go to a Bible conference several states away, and they went and they stayed all week, and it was wonderful. And the theme for the conference had been looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. And of course, the focus of the conference was keeping your eyes fully on Him and don't let the circumstances of life derail your joy. After the conference, they were driving home and talking. They were excited and they had driven quite a ways. And in fact, it got kind of dark. Someone came around a corner on their side of the road. And they had to jerk the wheel. The old man jerked the wheel to miss them. But he ran off the road and he ran down into a ditch. And by the time the car got stopped, he was in this little ravine with water in it and a little bridge over top. Well, neither he nor his wife were hurt. And so they managed to squeeze themselves out one of the windows. And they got up and they were sitting, or standing rather, on the roof of the car. And they put their arms around each other and thought that this would be the perfect time for rejoicing. One of the only hymns that they had ever known in their old church was the doxology. How many of you know the doxology? The doxology says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And all the Methodists said amen. Well, we don't sing it in the Baptist church, and maybe we should. The old couple stood there and they had their arms around each other, their eyes were shining and their faces were beaming. And they sang, "Praise God to whom all blessings flow." Afterward, the little old lady said that, of course, by now there had been a little crowd gathered on the bridge to see if they were okay. And one was a police officer. And the little old lady said that when they were singing, he took his hat off and put it over his heart. You see, people noticed what they were doing. When the little old man looked up and saw the crowd of people, he said, I know you're probably wondering why we called this meeting. And he began to share Jesus with them. What a glorious, you know what? When I get to be an old man, that's the kind of old man I want to be. That's the kind of old man that I want to be. And so then choose joy, choose to rejoice, regardless of the circumstances. Second, choose intentionally the path of purity. Now, you can see that Paul clearly calls the Philippians to intentional action. He said, dwell on these things. He's talking about the pure things. He said, whatever's true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good report. All of those things. He says, first of all, dwell on these things. He says, think on these things. He said, concentrate on them and meditate on them. In other words, Paul was saying you need to spend time intentionally focusing on the things of God, on godly things. Do you ever have times in your life when an ungodly thought just clicks into your mind? And I know you do, because it happens to me. And you know, when that happens, just like that, a lot of times I'll shake my head. Carol say, what are you doing? I'll say, nothing. But you know, those things will come into your mind. And the best way to erase those things and drive them away is to intentionally choose the right every single time. Focus on the things of God. Intentionally choose His ways. Do you remember Joshua? Joshua, one of my favorite characters in the entire Bible. And at the very end of his life, chapter 24 and verse 15, do you remember what he said to all of the people of Israel? He said, choose you this day who you will serve. And then he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You say, well, I can't make my... No, you can live before your kids in a way that they will live just like you. Amen. Choose you this day who you will serve. Do you know there's a lot out there that we can serve today? You can serve the demon of drugs, alcohol. You can serve the demon of pornography. You can get on the internet and find just as much evil as you can bear. But you know what? You need to choose to focus rather on the things of God. Choose you intentionally who you will serve. The last thing I wanted to share with you was simply this. Learn to be content in every situation. Contentment, here again, is not automatic. You know, we talked about last week the Declaration of Independence and our freedom and all of those things. And I know that the Declaration of Independence says that we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But you know, the problem in America today is too many people are pushing their own rights and not worrying about the rights of others. Too many people are pushing their own rights without a single thought of what God thinks. What do you suppose he thinks with some of the decisions that have been going on? What do you suppose God thinks about some of the actions that are taking place in our country? Never ever think that God is some lovely little old man up there that just says, oh my, my. That's not the case. God is righteous. God cannot abide sin. And a day will come when there'll be judgment. And the point is simply this: we need to learn to be content, because the things, when we're not content, those things that draw us aside are the things that will ruin our life. You know, we choose contentment. A lot of times, people chase contentment. Well, you know, I'll really be happy if I can just buy this next car. If I can just buy this next truck. If I can just buy that second place on the beach. I'll be content if I can just get that next level of job, that next level of employment. I'll be content if I can just master this new hobby. I don't know how many of you play golf, but I tell you something I learned years ago. When I had gone back to school after God called me to preach, Carol was the assistant manager at an apartment complex that didn't allow children. So what they did was put us at the very end with our three kids. And you know, we were just supposed to, I think, pretend that they were just little urchins that came to our house every day. But at any rate, it was a great place to live. There was a young guy there that was a major in the Army. And somebody took him to play golf. And you can't imagine what happened to him. He went absolutely insane. He went out and he bought walked into a sporting goods store and said, make me a golfer. And I mean, he bought clubs and balls, he bought the clothes, he bought everything. He had tee times all over town, ran himself ragged playing golf, and that's all he ever wanted to talk to. And I saw him one day and I said, how's it going? He says, this game is killing me. I said, well, why do you take it so seriously? He said, no. He said, golf is not a game. Golf is a way of life. Now, I don't know if it had anything to do with it, but sometime later I heard that he had put his service pistol in his mouth and blew his brains out. I want you to know that when you chase contentment, you will never, never, never be satisfied or fulfilled. Only as you become content in the things of the Lord will contentment come. Chasing after whatever rainbow it might be leads to nothing but frustration. We need to busy ourselves with the things of eternal value. Don't worry about things and stuff, and worry about people. Worry about relationships. Worry about those people that you haven't talked to in years, and maybe it's your fault, maybe it's their fault, but maybe you need to talk to them. Worry about relationships. Worry about people. Worry about the things on God's heart. God could care less about a new Cadillac. God cares about the poor fella addicted to alcohol laying in the ditch. That's where God's heart is. Contentment is a learned, intentional activity. You learn to be content in whatever situation you're in. You intentionally put the other things aside and be content. Paul's secret, he cultivated a life of Christ-following discipleship. A life of joy, peace, and contentment is a choice. And you can either make a choice of the things of this world or the things of God. Oh, beloved, choose Christ. Seek Him daily. Follow Him faithfully, step by step by step. This is the way, walk in it. We taught the children that. Be freed from the things of this world. And like Paul, you'll be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you might have great glory in this place today. I pray that you might have victory in the lives of people here in this place during this time. I pray that there might be a movement of your spirit and that people will cast aside things that don't matter and they'll renew and be revived in their love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, I pray that you make this thing happen in the lives of your people, that we may rejoice and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I invite you to stand quietly and prayerfully. I never know what God says to your heart. I know what He says to mine. And I pray that I will always, always be faithful to that still small voice within me. And that I'll be found faithful. The Lord might have told you today that you need an attitude adjustment. And you might need to come and you might say, Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll do a work in my life and that there's not one single thing in this world that will take your place. Might be that you need to come and say, you know, I feel like I need to be a part of this fellowship. Walk beside these fellow believers in love, in fellowship, in service. It might be that for the very first time you realize that you're lost without a hope. Jesus died for you. All that's required on your part is that you come to Him. Come to the Lord Jesus. The response is, oh God, forgive me. Jesus, I surrender my life to you as Lord. Whatever God has laid on your heart, I pray that you'll do. We'll wait just a moment and take time and give you opportunity to come. We're going to sing Just As I Am. The praise team will lead you. That's a favorite song of mine, Just As I Am, without one plea, no excuses, but that thy blood was shed for me. Will you come?
Just as